James chapter 3, we're going to begin with the first verse. Let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing that as such we shall incur stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is perfect, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they may obey us to direct their entire body as well. Behold the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brother, produce olives, or vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that we are not our own, and that we are yours. I pray that you would help us to be very careful with our speech, that we would confine it to what is godly and righteous and uplifting in the eyes of the people around us. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us wisdom as we study this morning, that your Spirit would speak to our hearts those things that need attention, that you would be glorified, that we would be more complete in our faith as we walk before you. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So moving on in our study here in the book of James, he now turns to one of man's biggest problems, our mouth. I'm probably not, I'm kind of an expert on how to do this wrong, but I'm not very good at doing it right. So Jesus clearly taught in his earthly ministry, that's not what we say that condemns us, but what we say that shows the true nature of our heart that condemns us. And so, when we speak, and we speak contrary to the ways of God, it reveals our allegiance. Either in the case of praising God, it reveals our allegiance to God. When we reject God in so many different ways that we can in our speech, it shows how we're going against God. And so what we say is very important in showing the condition of the heart, that we are either serious about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or we are just doing our own thing. Let's get into this text this morning. James chapter 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we have incurred a stricter judgment. So, one of the most critical roles in the church is the pastor-teacher. Those are the ones who are going to reveal the counsel of the of God to the church. A pastor teacher needs to be knowledgeable about God and must have character beyond reproach, which is what we studied when we were studying
in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And it is imperative that those who would teach be very careful to teach only the message of God. That is, to me, has always been the most important task that any pastor has, is to proclaim God's message to the church. And the pastors and teachers, they don't need to add to God's message to make it more desirable for people. They don't need to take away from God's message so that you're not scaring people away. God has a message for man. It's written in this word. And God wants man to hear all, the good and the bad, so to speak, if you're a man. If you stand in rebellion against God, the wrath of God is placed upon you. That's a truth every person needs to hear. Why do you need salvation if you're not worried about the wrath of God? That's it. You need salvation because God's wrath is directed toward those in rebellion. And God's wrath leads to eternal damnation. And God's wrath has prepared a place for those in rebellion where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Eternal hell for those that have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So men need to hear that and need to know that they're not having a sugarcoat. That's the real need. The beauty is that Jesus is the answer and gives us life. What is difficult for some men is the fact that Jesus is the only way. God has got multiple ways to God. We have to trust in Jesus as the Lord.
They're not to take away from the message of God. People need to hear all this stuff. They need to hear the good stuff that Jesus saves. They need to hear the bad stuff that the soul that says it shall die. Okay? That's what you need. Those who are teaching have this responsibility to deliver this message untarnished to the church. And therefore, if they do not, they incur strict judgment. Those who teach and proclaim the Word of God, or at least say they teach and proclaim the Word of God, have a special condemnation if they do not deliver the message of God. There's been many a course of life that's been changed because of a misspoken word or misguided direction. So the teacher has to be very careful about the message that they are delivering to the people. They are giving the directions that bring eternal life. And if they're erroneous in those instructions, then the result will be eternal damnation. So, the moral of the story, so to speak, is that you only teach and preach the Word of God if you are called by God to teach and preach the Word of God. And then you also need to be willing to do that work correctly, carefully, to instruct the church. Verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. The unfortunate part about the church and about salvation is that we remain in the flesh when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And because we remain in the flesh, we are still subject to the failures of the flesh. Now, one, that's not an excuse. It's just an explanation. You can't be like Cliff Wilson. Some of us know Cliff Wilson. You can't be like Cliff Wilson and say, the devil ain't good. The devil may encourage you to do it, but you did it. That's the problem with that statement. We all stumble in many ways, but that's not an excuse, it's just truth. What we're trying to do
is to grow into the likeness of Christ so that we're not stumbling as much. That's the goal that we're after, that the failures would be kept to a minimum. And then the author of Hebrews says, you know, if you don't stumble in what you say, boy, you've made it. Because what you say is coming out of your heart and is talking about your motivation and your thoughts and all that other stuff. And it's going to reveal what's going on in that brain of yours. So our speech is going to reveal our inward motivation. And if you're able to control what's going on in your life and submit it to God, then we're perfect. We're able to bridle the whole body as well. We're in control. We always have to be aware of the fact that spoken words can't be taken back. Therefore, we need to stop what we're saying before the damage is done. Verse 3. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great, are driven by strong winds, and are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. And so, James just uses a couple of examples of what controls things. Small things control things and whole events. I don't know if any of you guys have done much horseback riding. We used to ride horses a lot more than we do now. The fact of the matter is that you can't, if you're standing outside a horse, you can't push that horse in any direction you want to go. That horse is going to go wherever that horse wants to go. But if you're sitting in that saddle, you got a hold of the reins and that bit's in their mouth, they can't do nothing. Well, they can, but they'll pretty much do whatever you want them to do. Because that softness of their mouth controls the direction that horse is going to go, and you get to control where that mouth is being pressured. Also, if you've ever done much in the way of sailing or been in ships or anything like that, the rudder's not very big, but that little drag in the water causes it to go whatever direction the pilot wants to go. Your mouth is the same way. It's kind of a small thing, but it's kind of correcting the rudder of your life in the direction that you're headed. Verse 4 or 5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet boasts of great things. And that's either good or bad. The tongue is a very small thing, and it's the message that is being delivered by the teacher. And so, even though it's not much, it boasts of great things. Now, quite frequently we think of boast as a negative thing, and for the most part it is, even in this passage. But the fact of the matter is, when we proclaim the goodness of God and the wonderful pleasure of God toward His people, that's a boast. That's a wonderful thing. And the tongue can do that. We can say, my God is good. My God is great. My God loves us eternally. My God is long-suffering and cares for me. So there's positive things that are wonderful, powerful things that can be said and boast of great things. But unfortunately, most of the time, our tongue is doing destructive stuff. And he says, look how great a forest to set aflame with such a small fire. Just a small little campfire that you forgot to put out. And it catches on to the leaves around the campground. Next thing you know, the whole forest is ablaze. It doesn't have to be much. Many times a fire has been started by a cigarette out of the window or something like that. A great opportunity. There's a control portion that can change things and very drastically affect other people, the consequences, in fact, will not even be able to be controlled by the person starting that old flame. Verse 6. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, sets on the course, fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. So, the tongue is a very small thing, but it is controlling the message of the teacher. And it is the very world of iniquity. Anything that's inside you, that unconfessed sin that you haven't gotten rid of yet, that little personal pet sin that you're keeping on and hidden away in its little containers that you take out and play with it every so often, you're not containing it, really. It's there to pounce. The sin that so easily entangles, as Paul says, and this is the same concept, the tongue is kind of a small little thing, but it's the very world of iniquity. It shows the wickedness of our heart and the intent to harm people by what we say to them. It defiles our body and it sets on fire the course of our life.
Proclaiming the word of God and then let the Holy Spirit do his business
And then move on to the next verse. We're going to proclaim the word of God to the goal in our lives, verses 9 and 10, is not to clean up our speech, but to clean up our hearts. This whole concept and the whole discussion that James is making here about the tongue, it isn't the tongue specifically. That's metaphorical. It's what's within our heart that's saying. Jesus clearly proclaimed that in his earthly ministry, that it's what is within the hearts of man that makes man wicked. Not what the man is saying, not even what man is doing. It's what's within our hearts, what the motivation is that we're doing. And so that's all that James is saying is, you know what, it's what he said at the beginning, verse 2. If you're able to bridle the tongue, then you're able to bridle the whole body. The tongue is only being controlled by your heart. So if your heart is right, you're going to do what is right for God and glorify God. If your heart's not right, it's still selfish and lustful and evil, then it's going to come out. And it's going to reveal itself to others. Verse 11. Does the fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brother, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. So inconsistency in speech is just showing our wicked heart. If there's no wickedness in our heart, we're not going to speak wicked things. It's really that simple, but it's not that easy to do. It just is simple to say. When we speak wicked things, then we should recognize that we have unconfessed sin in our life and have a need for taking care of it. Let's remember as we study and we think about this passage here in James, that James is bringing a message to believers. He wants us to grow into the likeness of Christ. And so really what his task is that he's given to us today is for us to search out our own hearts to find the rebellion that remains in our lives. And then repent of that sin and remove it from our lives. Remove our sinful, selfish behavior so that we can live and bring glory to God, that he might be lifted up in the eyes of all people because we show Jesus to the world by the way we act and the things that we say and do. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for another chance to join together and encourage each other in the faith. And I pray, Father, that you would help us with this mighty task of controlling the tongue. And Father, I know that means confessing sin and straightening up our internal lives. And I pray that you would help us, reveal to us through the Holy Spirit where we are wicked and in need, and help us to turn away from those things and bring you the glory by the way that we act and the things that we say. Thank you for this church, for these faithful people. I pray that you would bless them mightily. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.